This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, coming up in the noon hour, we'll have Stephen Jones, Mickey Spagnola to talk about the Cowboys game last night and the direction this team is heading. But right now, it is time for the Travis Frederick Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and Dr. Pepper. Travis, how you doing this morning, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what did I'm going to steal this from the G-Bag Nation. What did you have for breakfast, and what do you wish you had for breakfast today?
I had some coffee, and I made some little French toast sticks for my son, and I ate half of one of those.
Did you just steal it from him? Or
well,
he was
all done, so instead of throwing it away, I just, you know, gobbled up the last bit of it.
Yeah, that's the way I approach it, too. Don't want to waste it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want it to go in the trash. You might as well put it to good use.
That's what I'm talking about. Efficiency, even right. Off the football field. So I was hoping you could lend us some insight on the next to last drive, but for all intents and purposes, the real full last drive that you guys had in the game. Mm-hmm. After the run play on third down that was busted up, it looked like you immediately looked over to the sidelines, and I couldn't tell if you were trying to ask somebody a question, yell at somebody. I was curious if you recall that particular moment, and were you asking questions about the coverage or what happened? Or because obviously you looked upset in the moment, which is totally understandable.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I probably lost my cool a little bit, and I was a little upset. I was trying to get the attention of, you know, some of the coaches to try and get us in a place, you know, where we could go ahead and try and take a shot. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, and you know, we needed to be better in that last drive, and you know, as an offensive line, as an offense, and we just weren't able to get it done.
I was I remember talking with a former wide receiver for the Cowboys, Roy Williams, about blocking downfield when you're running in a route and blocking for a guy who's a running quarterback. And he was like, it was different, you know, with Vince Young, with these guys, you'd be downfield, and now you have to turn around and start, you know, blocking the cornerback while he's running by you. So mm-hmm. it completely changes the game. And I know y'all have been implementing more RPOs into y'all's game. And I wonder, from the offensive line standpoint, how much different are your responsibilities whenever you have an RPO called versus just a straight run or a straight pass?
It is a little bit different. It's really, it kind of puts you in a hard spot a little bit in that, you know, you obviously can't be downfield. So depending on what the play is, you have to be cognizant of the timing of it, and that if you can't get downfield too quickly, you know, so you just change your timing a little bit and change your technique to allow time for that pass to happen, if the pass is going to happen. And then if not, you should be on your landmark well.
I know this usually, or people assign this responsibility to the quarterback, and I understand why, but do you find yourself in situations frequently, if at all, where you just look up at the just basic numbers game of the defensive linemen that are in front of you, or the defenders that are in front of you versus the protection scheme that you have, and you're like, hold on, this isn't going to work? And like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, you know, we work really well together, I think, Dak and I, determining what the coverages are and what the pressures can be, and how our protections should line up against that. So we do make a lot of adjustments on the line and try to get ourselves into the right spot, you know. And sometimes that means there is going to be a guy free, but that means that we're going to have one-on-one coverage. Or sometimes it means that somebody's going to be uncovered, even though there's going to be a free guy. And it all comes down to what the plan is for the week and where Dak is and what he's comfortable with.
We all know that you want to be a wide receiver. We've seen the footage of it and everything. I do wonder, though, whenever a play like Amari Cooper's tiptoe play mm-hmm. happens, can you see that from where you are on the field? Do you get to see any of that stuff live, or do you have to see it whenever you go back and watch it on the big screen?
You can see it occasionally. It depends on what the situation is. You know, if it's a downfield pass and the defensive linemen have already started running away, you know, you're running to the ball and you get a chance to see it. Oftentimes, if it's a quicker pass, you're still engaged with the defensive lineman, so you can't see any of that stuff. But some of those catches that he made, actually all the receivers, were really, really impressive.
Do you ever tell them that you could have made a better one, or do you say, you know what, I'm going to leave that up to you guys now?
No, honestly, they are so impressive that, you know, the things that they do are hard to be replicated by anybody, you know, even other professional wide receivers. We have such a strong group of receivers, and what a great group of guys as well.
Now, a lot of, well, obviously, you know, anytime the Cowboys lose, you guys clearly do this to the next level, but fans like to nitpick every single thing. And I don't know if that's breaking news to you or not. But one of the things that some people have discussed is the Tavon Austin fair catch. And this doesn't specifically need to be about Tavon, but I'm curious. How do you deal with, especially when you personally were newer in the league, doing exactly what the coaches have told you to do, or going with your instinct and knowing, like, I've played football for a really long time. I know what I'm supposed to do, and it doesn't exactly jive with what you just told me to do.
Yeah, that's a tough line because, you know, you feel like you know that something, you should do something a certain way. And the coaches are telling you to do it a different way. I think the best answer there is that when you do it the way that the coaches tell you to do it, even if it doesn't go with what you're thinking, you're better off because you're doing what is connected with the team. You know, so if there's, let's say there's a bless, in my case, there's a block that you're supposed to do a certain way, but I said, you know, I tried this earlier in the game and it didn't work, so I'm just going to adjust it on my own. Well, I could be leaving somebody else out to dry because it's all a system. And, you know, that goes in little things like that, you know, between me and another offensive lineman, and bigger things like the offensive line to the offense, or, you know, special teams even to the whole game. And so there is a plan through the whole thing, and it's important that we trust that plan.
We got Travis Frederick on the Travis Frederick Show. I love talking to him. He's one of my favorite humans. I'll give you
wow.
that much.
Yeah, wow.
No, he is. He definitely is. Do you ever talk to the guys on the other side of the ball about, like, I don't know, things that might frustrate you as an offensive lineman, or things that you might see that you're like, hey, man, this guy right here, he doesn't like it when this happens, and try and help out the defense? Or is that, do y'all split and just say, you know, they do their job, we do our job?
It's a little bit of both. I think that we mostly are split, but we do communicate back and forth, especially offense and defensive line, and I'm sure it's the same in other groups. But, you know, we talk about things that are really hard for us as offensive linemen to deal with, and, you know, encourage the defensive line to do more of that. And they, in turn, will give us some tips on, hey, when an offensive lineman does this, it makes our job really difficult. Or when you guys as a group do this, it makes it hard. And, you know, we talk about just, you know, techniques and theories, and I think that helps everybody get better on the team.
Who's got the best tips from the defensive side?
I think DeMarcus does a really good job working with our tackles, young and old, and talking about, you know, some of that stuff. And, you know, our guys will say, hey, this guy really likes to spin this week. What are the things that you try and do on a spin to defeat? And so those are all really good conversations.
Nice. Now, you said earlier that you look back at it and across the board you can say, like, we need to do a better job. I'm curious, specifically for you personally, when you look back at that game, or is it something that you need to watch the film first to get a better idea? What do you think that you need to do better at going forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I need to watch the film. I haven't seen it all yet for this game, but, you know, I think it all comes down to just trying to be technically sound and executing the plays at a high level and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I think there was a couple of times yesterday where communication, I don't want to say broke down, but maybe wasn't as clear as it possibly could be. And in what we're doing, you have to be exactly on the same page at all times. Otherwise, you can get, you know, negative plays and things like that. And, you know, I think we need to continue to, you know, just go back and do the things that we do and the things that we practice a lot and are good at. And, you know, it's something that we'll continue to get better at. And, you know, we're going to keep pushing down the season. I know that everybody's upset because it's a loss, and obviously I am too. But, you know, it's a long season, and we just need to continue to learn from these things so that when the end of the season comes, you know, we can be, you know, at our best and playing top ball.
When it comes to last night, can you tell us anything more about how that communication specifically broke down? Does it go from the sideline to the quarterback to you guys among the offensive line?
Oh, I think, you know, in general, I can't speak between, you know, offense and quarterback or anything like that. But, you know, just on the offensive line, in my case, there was a couple times where maybe I was a little bit late with a call, or the call wasn't clearly communicated, and maybe it was a little loud and somebody didn't hear, or they made a shift late, and all of those things. You know, sometimes defenses are trying to do things. Obviously, they know how you do things as an offense, and they make adjustments and try and do things to out-scheme you. And I can do a better job of trying to anticipate some of the adjustments that they're making in the game and some of the pressures and things like that, and hopefully get us in a better spot to be successful.
When I'm going to go back to that second to final drive, whenever you guys gash their defense with a 20-yard pass, 10-yard pass, 13-yard pass, 20-yard pass, does the field just get smaller and then y'all have to change the plays a little bit to adjust to that? Or do you think to yourself, man, let's just keep throwing the rock. Let's go score.
You know, that's tough. You know, my job as a player is to just execute the plays that are called. And I can't imagine how difficult it is to call a game and call those plays. I certainly do not envy for that job. But as the field shrinks, you know, that's less space that the defense has to defend, you know, so it does have to change things up. And everyone talks about the red zone and having red zone success and things like that. And it's a real thing that, you know, when you're inside the 20-yard line, there's a lot less space to defend. So it definitely makes the coordinator's job and the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and tight ends and all of that. It makes everybody's job harder when you get down in there. Well, but, you know, we have to do a better job and just punch it in there.
What was Minnesota doing that kind of made it? Because they stuffed Zeke. And I'm trying to – Kevin has a theory. He's like, sometimes as a running back, you just got to make a play. And I'm on the other side where I'm like, I think the offensive line will take that and say, we got to block it right up front. What was Minnesota doing so much that made it a struggle for you guys?
You know, I think it was a combination of things. You know, they did a good job of scheming up the way that we were going to do things. They had some really good run pressures that they ran specifically into looks, you know, that they felt like would stop us. They did a really good job of playing differently. You know, they didn't play the same against us that they did against most people. Huh. You know, when you look on film, they made some adjustments. And, you know, those things take you by surprise a little bit early, not necessarily surprise, but you're certainly not expecting that. And then you adjust to it as the game goes, and you kind of see that, you know, we get better and better, you know, as the game goes, as we adjust to those things. And I think it all just comes down to, you know, everybody being on and executing and doing what we can to try and get some holes for Zeke to get through.
While you were preparing for the Vikings game, did you have the opportunity to lose your mind when Wisconsin shut down the 2-point conversion by Iowa on Saturday?
You know, I was definitely pretty excited about that. I was just arriving. We had to be back in for dinner and meetings on Saturday night, so I missed part of the game there, and I got in and just was able to see that. And I was definitely pretty pleased with that. I always enjoy watching Wisconsin, and you know, I'm obviously a big fan of theirs, and it's been an interesting season. You know, some good and some bad, but it's fun to watch them win, especially in a rivalry game like that.
Very excited to watch them win this weekend against a Nebraska team that continues to spiral into irrelevancy.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, it's always tough playing in Lincoln. That's a fun place to be, but it definitely gets loud, so it'll be a good game.
That was a smart answer. It was really smart.
He's a
smart
guy, man.
It was smart that you didn't say they have spiraled into irrelevancy. I'll go ahead and own that one, though.
Yeah, that's definitely not what I'm saying.
Thank you so much, Travis. We appreciate your being so candid, win or lose.
Well, I'm glad that you guys have had me, and I really appreciate the time.
We'll catch you next week, man.
Sounds good.
That's Travis Frederick, brought to you by the Travis Frederick Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and Dr. Pepper. And I honestly mean that. Like, I appreciate.
He opened up to a lot of things and a lot of insight on what was going on.
So that doesn't help sometimes that, like, I'm still upset that we lost, but I like that he was like, well, obviously we're upset. And I appreciate that people answer questions, win or lose.